This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
We are very excited to be here for another week, and we would love to hear from you. We've got a Facebook page, which is very fancy looking, and you can go and like it if you like. See what I did there? You might be able to like it. Oh, God.
So witty.
Sorry. Rolling our eyes.
I know. Sorry about that. That was really awkward. But it is Facebook. It is Fender Bender Joy, all as one word on the Facebooks. We'd like to hear from you.
I'd love to hear from them.
Exactly.
And it's been an amazing day out there today, and we've got a perfect view here from the Joy studio.
We do.
It's incredible, looking down Bourke Street, and the sun is almost still shining, and let us know if you've been out and maybe even driving your convertible.
Yeah, exactly. And if you do, what is that convertible called? Do you have a name for it?
I think we need to branch out into motorbikes as well. I think this is a motoring show, not just a car show.
Oh, you're probably right.
You know?
Let's be honest. We want it, yes. And you'd probably have a name for a motorbike, I would imagine.
Well, the reason I thought of it is, you know, do you love it? Do you?
Yeah.
And I had a motorbike. I had to sell it. It was a sad time recently.
Yeah.
But it was more of my boyfriend. It was my boyfriend.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was hot. It was fast.
Yep.
Didn't talk
you
back.
You rode it.
Oh, I rode it. That's there we go. Right. Another
you
pun.
Just had to go there.
Yeah. So I think we can't rule out the motorbikes.
Yep, absolutely, I agree. And we have a lot has been going on, of course, this week in motoring, and here to tell us all about it is the lovely Mike Costello.
Gents, it begins. The lead up to the colossal Frankfurt Motor Show, a frenzy of new and exciting product will be previewed over the course of the next month before the show begins on September 15.
Frankfurt, that's come up again.
I know.
That word's doing funny things to me. It's making me hungry and horny.
Well, incidentally, it's also the biggest motor show in the world. You, dear listener, can expect to hear a lot about it over the coming weeks. Now, you may remember last week we talked about Ford's all-new Focus small car.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now Hyundai, another major player in this massive vehicle segment, is gearing for the next gen of its popular i30. You may both know the i30.
Yeah, very popular car.
Mm. Well, the company has released a teaser sketch of the car before its full reveal in the metal at the show, and it's surely going to put to bed any flippant whispers about the Korean giant's product range, because they are still out there. Now, it is, in my humble opinion, a sexy-looking car. It's a chunkier version of the sort of angular design that they've been going for.
Mm.
Make no mistake, this car is going to make some serious waves in the best-selling model segment in Australia.
They're very, very modern-looking, and I think for a Korean brand, they're doing really well.
So yeah,
they're going. They're up there with the rest of them.
And I think this one is the best of the lot so far. Now, we're looking at a release here in the latter half of next year.
Beautiful. And one of the highlights from the recent Australian International Motor Show was the Suzuki Swift concept. That was the canary yellow concept that was going to preview the next generation Swift Sport. And that's a bit of a hot hatch. Well, the Frankfurt showgoers will be treated to the real deal following the release during the week of the first official image. Mechanical details are as expected. There's a 100 kilowatt 1.6 litre four-cylinder engine set to power the pint-size hatch, which is likely to have five doors. And there used to be a Swift Sport many, many years ago, back in the 90s.
Actually, no, there was one for the recent model as well.
Okay.
So this is kind of the latest version of it. Similar sort of thing, though.
Yep. Because I do remember the one from the 90s being like a GTI, I think they called it. It was quite a popular little thing, actually, back in those days. Showing my age there, gosh. yes, but the production version will be a toned-down version of that show concept. So a milder body kit, smaller alloy wheels, and it will be in showrooms possibly by the middle of next year with a price tag of around 23 grand.
We'll be thinking anyway. Now to a niche German brand that you may have heard of. It's called Volkswagen. It's one of the smaller ones. Anyway, it turned heads with the Bulli microbus concept. Yes, it was called Bulli. I don't know why. And they displayed that at the Geneva Motor Show in March of this year.
What's a microbus?
It's a small little kind of MPV, like a little people mover. Really small one, though.
Okay, what's so it's not really a bus.
You know Renault Scenic?
Oh, yeah.
They call it microbus.
I work with Renault, yeah.
Well, anyway, it bared a bit of a resemblance to the beloved Kombi in downsized form. And it's opening the door to join the Beetle in sort of a heritage lineup in Volkswagen's lineup. Anyway, European reports from during the week indicate that the five-seater MPV, which is actually only a little bigger than the Polo small car, could be built at the same Mexican plant as the Beetle, giving VW a good platform to tap into the vast US market.
Smart move.
Indeed. And a production version would also give the company another contender in the booming small people mover segment in Europe, a contender which would be differentiated by its famous name and heritage.
Mm.
Anyway, last up, no big motor show can be complete without an array of sexy, unattainable, and preferably Italian metal. Lamborghini is the best in the business when it comes to doing this. And thankfully, the Raging Bull brand has come to the party, creating a car that will display a new super sports car at next month's show. The Audi-owned carmaker is playing its cards quite close to its chest on this one, but overseas reports indicate the mystery model could be a hardcore Gallardo, inspired by the one... that is actually how it's pronounced. It's Spanish, my friend, you know.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Inspired by the One Mech Super Trofeo racing series, which takes place all across Europe. Other possibilities are a roadster version of the manic Aventador, or maybe even a production version of the achingly gorgeous Sesto Elemental concept first seen last year. Nice. Anyway, it's going to be spectacular no matter what it is.
Well, if the Lambo. What do you name your car, and tell us why? You're listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. The Lamborghini Gallardo, which has brought itself up as one of the gayest cars purely on name.
Yeah. It is hard to argue.
Well, let's be honest. Let's be honest. But quite a lot. So the little combi, another new little combi coming out, Mike.
Yeah. Well,
possibly.
I don't know if you were talking about your age before. If you cast your minds back to the distant past, to 2001, they did actually have another combi concept then as well. Nothing came of it. But this time it looks more legitimate. So okay. I think...
Why, another remake?
Well, it's going to be a lot smaller, but it does look a bit like the combi. It has a very similar design look to the, you know, the hippie combi that all know and love. And they seem a lot more gung-ho on it. Nothing's confirmed, but look, this is as good a chance as there's ever going to be for this to come back.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I think I would like the listeners to text in, because I think that that sort of recreation of the Beetle is a failure.
See, I agree, but I think the combi has more scope, because the combi is like, it's a useful car as well. You know what I mean? Like, you can fit five people in it, you can take your family away in it. It sort of occupies a popular segment anyway.
Why do you think that's a fail? What's the fail element?
The fail of it? Yeah. Tim, I couldn't even pick out one thing. It didn't tick any boxes for me. I mean, the Beetle, back then it was...
I think the charm, it was a cheap and cheerful thing, you know, and...
There's a lacking character.
Well, for the listeners, this Bully, which is a combi-based thing, actually looks really, really cool, and the shape, it's kind of, micro, was it mini? Micro?
It's the size of a Polo. Now, I don't know if you guys out there know what a Polo is, but it's very small, a little bigger than a Polo probably, but not much bigger, and this thing's really boxy and angular, and it has a cool two-tone paint design on it, and I think it looks bloody awesome.
It does actually look pretty cool.
I'm a bit of a fan. We might put that on the Facebook page. Go to Facebook and like Fender Bender Joy, and we will put that up and you can have a look at it. And let us know what you think about the Beetle. Is Jeremy outrageous for suggesting it was a bomb? Quite possibly. But the new little Beetle, though, which they're about to release in Australia, I don't think it's released yet, Mike.
It's not released yet. It is coming.
So it's a new coming. Beetle, but it'll be a new Beetle. They're not calling it that, though.
It's like a meta. It's a new Beetle. it's coming. I'm not exactly sure when. It's not too far away. I think it has been released overseas.
It has. And apparently from a lot of the motoring magazines and that kind of thing are saying that it's because it's based... quite heavily on the Golf, so it's actually quite a decent car to drive, and it's not like a little toy car like the original new Beetle.
Yeah.
This is getting confusing.
The original one from the 70s was cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. As Wes Snelling let us know a few weeks ago.
Turned him homo.
Exactly, the poor dear. You are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. Thanks for being with us for another week. We've been scouring the papers and the websites and all that kind of thing all week for some car-y news. And one, of course, a big story in the last couple of weeks were the Mercedes-Benz, was it the G-Class?
Indeed.
That went up to the Western Australian Outback and attempted to a bit of a crossing of the...
Canning Stock Route.
Thank you.
Yes.
How did it go?
A few hiccups.
How so?
Well, it's an insanely difficult stretch. It's about 2,000 k's through the heart of the desert of Western Australia. Anyway, they did a bit of a press junket for them, and they had some problems with the shock absorbers, it was talked about. But I believe they've made the trip now. They've returned.
Apparently so.
And for people that don't know, shock absorbers are actually there to keep your wheels on the road. So pretty important.
Reasonably important.
And the corrugations on this track, well, you know, I'm not surprised. It was the shockies that went.
Yeah.
So, in your opinion, are they a two-rack tractor?
Or no, I don't think so. I think just about anything would have struggled on the canning stock route. Nothing has ever done it before in this capacity anyway. Yeah. I think it was a ambitious thing to try.
Yeah. But look, they got there in the end, and you know, they said, of course, that they knew that there were going to be hiccups, and there was. They said when they were travelling along there that they the convoy passed a burnt-out Ford Explorer and a shell of a Hilux crew cab lying on the side.
A burnt-out Ford Explorer.
Which is pretty much the best thing to do with a Ford Explorer.
they burn out just driving on highways.
Yeah,
didn't they?
The whole joke is a Ford Exploder.
Yeah.
That's what they're called.
Yeah.
You know, like
That's the thing. Nickname. They haven't done very well, which is strange because obviously they've got the territory now. They're doing a lot better with their four-wheel drives, but that was very American. The
very American,
totally,
And kind of didn't fit. I think
so gross, really.
Well, a little bit.
Yeah.
It was their time. I think Ford's time when they were doing the Taurus and they were trying a lot of cars that they'd sourced from America in this country, and we just went, huh? What's that do?
A little bit of lost in translation. What else has been happening?
Oh, well, do you know what? Do you know Jordan? Do you guys know Katie Price?
Regretfully, I do.
Yes. So she's the glamour model from the UK who gets her BAPS out, or used to get her BAPS out, but now she's actually quite the businesswoman.
So you've glamour's certainly, and that's a wide wide-ranging term, glamour, isn't it?
It's a wide-ranging term. But she is a bit of an entrepreneur and has made a shed load of money from reality TV. She's got a lot of fragrance lines. She's written, well, someone's written a book for her and put her name on it, that kind of thing. She has a couple of cars, and she purchased a Bugatti Veyron.
That's now, ridiculous.
Bugatti Veyron is one of the world's fastest cars. It's at least number two, if not number one.
I think it might be.
There's a car called a Koenigsegg, and there's Bugatti, and they fight it out.
I see.
But the Veyron is a couple of $1 million to buy. It goes over 400 Ks now. It has a V16 motor in it. It's a ridiculous. It's the pinnacle of, you know, if you put wheels on a space shuttle, you'd probably be pretty close to imagining what this thing is.
That's correct.
And so she's bought one?
She's bought
one. What has she done with it?
Has she got a license?
She won't have one for long. If I had a Veyron, I'd lose my license in about 2 days.
Oh, yeah, but it'd be worth it.
Well, look, you know, she's got a lot of money and not a huge amount of taste. For those people out there who have seen her wedding special reality TV show, you'll know what I'm talking about. And she has painted this Bugatti Veyron, which is Australian $1.6 million, pink.
That's gross.
Totally pink, just because she can. And it cost her about £80,000 just to have it customised in that pink colour.
Ridiculous.
Why would you do that, guys?
Keep the respray industry happy. Aside from that, I don't know.
It's pretty awkward, actually. It's not ideal. She also bought an expensive F1 personalised number plate from somebody at Bugatti owned it, and she paid £440,000 just for that, for the number plate.
Just for a number plate?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm actually speechless.
I know, right?
I don't think I know what to say to that.
Sounds like model behaviour.
Model behaviour?
You are on fire today, mate.
Incredible. Well, she's apparently also going to revamp the interior because that's not enough. So there'll be pink leather, a pink steering wheel, pink alloys, and a baby pink Swarovski crystal studded leather gear stick.
Oh, dear. Who do you do
with that?
Exactly. She's amazing.
I'm quite curious to know who out there listening does actually have a personalised number plate. What does it say? And what are your reasons for getting it?
Exactly.
Oh, there's some hideous ones out there. Yeah, I want to know.
There's some funny ones as well.
Let's get a bit of both in.
Let us know what you have.
I've always wondered what you're allowed to get. Because I've actually got a tattoo on my foot that I did myself in a drunken stupor. And it says gay boy. And I always thought, am I allowed to get that in a number plate? Or does someone have it?
Oh. Well, you know what we might have to do is get onto a bit of Vic Rhodes and maybe just pretend that we want that.
Or if anybody out there works for Vic Rhodes, let us know.
Let us know. Can we put swear words on license plates? We need to know. You're listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. For those of you out there who have been following the motoring industry in this country for a while, you'll be aware of Wheels magazine. It's been going since, I think, maybe the 60s, and it features lots of different road tests, new cars, all that kind of thing. And every year they have the Wheels Car of the Year, or COTY for short, which is quite cute. and that's been going forever. Now, the Wheels Car of the Year, it's pretty much Australia's most prestigious.
It's a big deal.
It's huge,
isn't it? Big deal.
Really, and they get, I think, motoring journalists and specialists from around the country and maybe even around the world to come and judge every year. And it's quite an exhaustive process.
It is. Wheels is one of the world's better known mags, and all these high-end mags have their own award, and Wheels Car of the Year is one of them.
And it's seen in the industry, I guess. Well, in Australia, like, everyone has one now. You know, Drive in Fairfax, Cars Guide, RACV, all of the motoring clubs. Everyone has their own version of Car of the Year. But
Wheels is still a biggie, I think.
Yeah.
And when a car maker wins it, they let you know about it.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, they certainly do. But I don't know how much credit it really comes with. I mean, if you look at the list, you know, it's another C word, Tim.
What are you saying?
The Camira.
Oh, well, this
the Holden
thing.
Camira. How does that win Wheels Car of the Year?
1982, you're right.
Yeah. How does that even happen?
Well, look, and this is the thing, I guess, is because we're looking back at this list. We have a list of all of the winners since 1963, and there are some quite embarrassing things. So have they made a mistake, or at the time, were they genuinely good cars?
Yeah, well, I think the joy of hindsight really kicks in here. You know, sometimes on first impressions, you know, you might not recognise a few little idiosyncrasies that a car may have, and then down the line, you do. But I think it's forgivable.
I think it was a bit like that, the Vegemite that was mixed in with the cheese.
What was
that
called?
They brought out. Yeah. I don't even know.
Yes.
I've forgotten the name. Someone text in and let us know because
that wasn't
I
the
don't
ice
know what
snack.
The name.
I think Ice Snack was different.
Ice Snack.
Was it? Do you remember Ice Snack?
No. Oh.
Why are we talking about bloody Vegemite?
No.
Anyway.
Well, yeah, because it was Australian made and it was a failure, so.
Yeah.
Same as the Camira.
Well, look, but then, you know, the Camaras did get better. That first one was an absolute dog, but then the second one was a little bit better, and then the last one, they kind of got it reasonably right, but
I'm going to say the Camira was actually an ingenious car. It was 20 years ahead of its time. Think about it. Locally made, smaller, using a four-cylinder engine. They're doing that now with the Cruze. The Camira was just too early. It was too good, and it was at the wrong time.
Holden wasn't ready for it.
It was like they got a crystal ball and gazed into the future, and no one was ready for
That's the problem. I only know them from when I was a little apprentice mechanic working on these things. And, you know, they were 20 years old when I got to them or whatever. And they were just falling apart.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Not ideal. There's some fairly other embarrassing mentions on there. We've got the, was it the PT?
The Leyland P76, which is renowned. Although that was really, it was actually an awesome car in the showroom. It just had some reliability issues, I think. And you can't know that when you're testing a brand new car. We need to remember this.
And the Mitsubishi Maggot.
I know. What year was that? That was
96.
Yeah.
Failure.
Really? Not a fan?
No. Horrible. Hideous. Anyway, well, I think there's nothing on that list that from 1963 or whenever it started I think is
deserved.
There are some cars on here that are, without a doubt, the most deserving winners you can get. 1989, the Mazda MX-5. Reinvented the sports car.
Yep.
The cheap budget, but still awesome to drive. Cool
That's
to look
true.
At, little sportster.
Well, the year after that's really interesting, actually, because that was the Lexus LS400, which completely changed the environment for luxury cars.
Jaws all over Germany just hit the desks.
Well, they were
when
just
they saw
riding on their coattails for a while, and then they kind of went, "Ooh, look, the Japanese can do it for half the price. It's a bloody good car." And it wasn't just a hyped up Camry. It wasn't. I won't hear of it.
Let us know if you think it is. We do want to hear of it.
And then there's the S-Class is in there, the one that Lady Di died in. So that's on the Wheels Car of the Year.
Car's big claim to fame, huh?
Well, that is some bizarre trivia right there.
Yeah,
guys.
She died in the one, they bring the one, Mercedes actually brought the car out with double plated glass and it was bulletproof. They actually, I think it was either for obviously royalty or the mafia. So the S-Class,
or both.
That's why you see a lot of, mafia-looking characters.
Well, there's a couple of years, 86 and 79, award withheld, and it's basically saying that there wasn't a car good enough that year to win.
I salute that.
Or bad enough.
Well, yeah.
Boomch. I support that approach, you know.
Really?
If you're going to have to clutch at straws to find something worthy, then don't bother.
That's true. I see the Subaru Impreza one in the year 2000. I don't remember that at all. I think I've wiped that from my memory.
Interesting choice.
Would
interesting
it have been the WRX or the actual...
that one?
Would have been the range. It was actually, I remember it. It was the whole range.
Right.
So it was all through. Look, it was a... I bet you we have some Impreza drivers listening, so let us know if you do. But I think it was not a bad car.
There's a few repeat, not offenders, that's the wrong word, but a few repeat winners, I guess. The Commodore has won about 53 of these things.
Yeah,
next.
I do think they really, if you make a car in Australia and it's half good, you will win, because you look, the BA Falcon and the every Commodore, like you mentioned, the Magna in 96, the Chimera. The locally made Pulsar in the early 90s, which was my first car, incidentally, so I support that decision completely.
You're happy for that?
Indeed.
Good-o. Well, there's the Territory as well. That was another one. That's an Aussie. And the MX-5, of course, has won a couple of times. More recently, though, Volkswagen have been killing it.
Yeah, well, I think they're making an amazing product.
I think just you'd struggle to find a motoring journo who hasn't given the Golf and Apollo rave reviews. Mm. I think they've really lifted the game in the last couple of years.
Mm. Yeah. No, they have done really well with it. And you look back a couple of years ago, the Mercedes-Benz C-Class. I mean, is that... And the S-Class, as you said, won in 1999. I mean, are they really affordable, though? Should they be winning car
of
the year?
An S-Class isn't.
But at the same time, if it is the best car...
Yeah. But do you think part of the judging should take into account affordability, whether...
Well,
it
is an interesting one, because often they do. You look at most of these cars, and they are pretty affordable cars, which is kind of the charm of the award, you know? Yeah. Anyone can aspire to own most of these cars. And then an S-Class, like you say, it's not exactly an everyday, an everyman vehicle.
No, really.
Very
really.
Expensive.
Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands.
Like I know they do that with other Car of the Year awards, like with the motoring, the RACV and that kind of thing. That's a big factor. And I think environmentally friendly and that kind of thing, they take...
That's really become a big one.
Which is interesting. So you're not going to see a Lamborghini Gallardo or something like that necessarily win, because they'll be chewing up too much fuel. But look, it's very controversial, and everyone has an opinion. Every year that this comes out, everyone who's interested in cars goes, "Oh, that decision was shit." So it's something that we've all grown up with, and let's hope
it's kind of like a Brownlow medal or something, isn't it? Really?
It is, but you don't get dressed up and wear fake tan to the Wheels Car of the Year.
Oh, really? What have I been doing?
You silly duffer. We've been talking about Wheels Car of the Year. And we also were looking to hear from you, dear listener, about if you have a car, have you named that car? If so, what have you named it? And why the hell did you name it that stupid name in the first place? A lot of us here have named our cars. I personally have named both of my cars. Guys, what about you? Is that something you do? Do you personalise your cars?
No, I don't. I've never had that relationship really with my car, but I did, as I said, with my motorbike.
What did you call your motorbike?
It's a little bit embarrassing.
That's okay. You can share that with us.
Can I?
Yes.
Cupid.
Oh, dear. Was that Cupid?
That was Cupid. Well, it was cute. It was a cute blue hot sports bike.
Jeremist. That's amazing.
Mm. I mean, you saw it, Tim. We live like next to each other.
It's true.
It was pretty hot.
It was a hot bike.
Mm.
I would have thought something Butcher.
No. I'm Tim, I'm not Butch.
Okay.
Please.
It's all the front.
Yeah.
What about that? Now you've got you drive a Volkswagen Jetta at the moment.
Yes. No, I haven't given that a name. I had a Range Rover years ago. Yeah, it was like a monster truck, but it had its own name. You know, on the Range Rover, that standard text that they have on the front of the bonnet.
Yeah.
You can actually scratch out part of the R and part of another bit, and it actually says Hangover. Oh. So I guess it had it had a name.
Wowzers.
So did you ever rock up to a booze bus at like 2 a.m. with Hangover written on the front of your car?
It wasn't a inconspicuous car.
No.
Yeah. It looked like a monster truck. It was all kitted out, you know.
And Mike, are you in the habit of naming your cars?
No. I think Jeremy's got a bit of a screw loose. I've never named a car. I don't know. I just, as much as I love cars, I just see them as an object.
Really?
Really. I mean, I love them and they're my passion, but to name a car, to, you know,
anthropomorphize. You're calling your car a prostitute? Well, just, in a way, just give it money, you know.
In a way, I invest money in my car and it gives me rides. So I suppose, in a way.
Wow, guys, I'm very surprised.
Tim, have you named a car?
I certainly have, guys.
Go on.
Well, my first car was, people out there might remember, we were talking about this a couple of weeks ago, again, I think the badge engineering when Holden and Toyota shared cars and released the same car with a different badge. I owned something called a Holden Nova.
Oh.
Now, it was the last
sexiest
model.
Car ever made.
Hey,
oh, I tell you what.
I hear a bad word about that car. It was awesome. It was the last model, and it was the sporty version, the GS. Which my housemate said, does that stand for gay sex?
would say that.
He would. And he also said the license plate number was NWW, and he suggested not with women. So anyway, whatever, that's enough about that. But I called that car because it was a Toyota. It was built as a Toyota Corolla, but was sold as a Holden Nova. It had Holden Nova badges.
Yeah, they do silly things like that.
Yeah. So I named that car Sybil. Because I don't know if anyone out there has seen the made-for-TV movie Sybil, starring a young Sally Field, and she plays somebody with multiple personality disorder. And so because this car had more than one personality, it was called Sybil.
That's actually really clever.
I know, right?
I admire the thought process that went into that name.
Yeah, I had no thought process in mind. It's like, no. It's hot.
Hangover.
That'll do.
Maybe my lack of naming is just a lack of imagination. I don't know.
No, I don't think so. Well, let's look, you know, I know a lot of people who do love cars and they kind of don't really care for it. My current car is called Stavros, and it's a 1999 red Mitsubishi Lancer coupe.
Okay, where did Stavros come from? There's got to be a story there.
Stavros came because I bought it off a dear friend of mine, and he basically said, because it's really like, it looks like it's really hotted up, and he said, when you turn the key, the car might actually just drive itself to Northlands, you know what I mean? Because it feels at home there. So it had to be Stavros.
Fully sick, man.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I love Stavros, and Stavros loves me.
You hope.
You hope.
Yeah.
But do you guys talk to your, when you're in your cars, are you like, oh, good girl, or anything like that?
No, and but I wouldn't be calling it a girl.
Ah.
My cars have always been guys, I think.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh.
No, the only time I talk to it is like, yeah, I used to, in the older cars that I had that didn't have quite the technology that, you know, the new one that I have now, I used to yell at it when I was skidding and, you know, heading towards a car or something like that. I'd be yelling at it to stop, but that was about...
Right.
The question I need to ask is, if you give a personality to your car, what exactly are you doing when you put the fuel bowser into the car? See, this is where my mind's going.
Yeah, you could look at it in so many ways, couldn't you?
Wow, I've never heard petrol, you know, be that sexy, but apparently it is.
I've never used petrol in that way either.
No. What about when I'm sticking the key in?
Broaden your horizons.
I know, right?
Imagination.
Wowzers.
You can see mine and Tim's brain just ticking over now. You've set us off, Michael.
Hey, my car is a hot little number. But do you do that, Mike? Do you don't talk to your car at any point?
I don't, no. I get angry. Oh, I suppose when I make a mistake on the road, I do blame the car. You know, when I do, you know.
Yeah.
I think if I, you know, we all do it occasionally. We might maybe cut it a little fine or cut someone off or run a light when it's about to turn red accidentally. And sometimes I have blamed the car.
Yeah,
needlessly.
Absolutely. Of course. Absolutely. Passing the buck.
But, you know, my car doesn't talk back, and that's what I like about it.
Yeah, well, that's what I liked about my bike.
Because I don't own Knight Rider, so it can't talk back.
Oh, my God. Totally. Can you imagine having Kit as your car?
Judgmental.
Well, it's true. Kit was quite judgmental from the Knight Rider hit series with the Hoff.
Speaking
of
course. Isn't that a little bit coincidental? Speaking of Knight Rider.
Why? Oh, my God. Yes. Yeah. I was like, what are you talking about? Jeremy. But yes, no, you're right. Knight Rider, guys, ladies and gentlemen, we're not premiering it, are we? Because it's...
Well, we're premiering this show.
Been on Joy before. Previously, but yeah, I think it's been quite a while.
Oh, really? Well, this, of course, for those of you who don't know out there, Jeremy, who is sitting here with us, is a member of the Blow Waves, aren't you?
I am so, yes.
That's right. So, when did this song come out?
This song came out, this is 2009.
Okay.
So, it's a couple of years, and we are... yeah, we've got an album on the way. It's a bit belated, but, you know, that's coming up very soon. But this is from the EP.
All right, and this is called Knight Rider by the Blow Waves. You're listening to Joy 94.9. This is Fender Bender.
Well,
That was Knight Rider, of course, by the wonderful Blow Waves. Thank you, Jeremy, for bringing a piece of yourself into the studio.
Haven't I just?
That's great. Good fun. Thank you. We're looking forward to the new album. So when that's later this year, is that right?
Yeah, look, it's hopefully sooner than later because it's been 2 years that we've been working on it. So you can imagine it's evolved time and time again.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's just time to sort of stop evolving and just release it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not too far away at all.
Oh, that's exciting.
And then some live shows
when that comes out as well.
Yeah, there'll be tours and everything like that.
Beautiful.
We're in the
presence of greatness, I think.
Tim. I know, right?
Thank you.
Bow down,
thank
guys.
You.
That's right. If you're just joining us, you are listening to Fender Bender on Joy 94.9. We've been talking about whether people name their cars, whether you personalise your cars. And the reason I brought it up is because there was a survey done in the United Kingdom and 33% of people responded that they do talk to their car
so
on a daily basis.
So it's official that 33% of people are insane. Well, that's a little higher than I would have thought.
Well, we actually had a text in during the break that it is a little bit cliche, but at least they named their car. They owned a Beetle back in the day and called it Herbie.
So, Herbie, yeah, yeah. A lot of Bettys. A lot of people call their car Betty. I don't know why.
Going with the classics, Herbie, Betty. Yeah.
Yeah. But then, and there's a lot of, I know, about 5 Susies that are Suzukis, obviously.
Clearly.
That's a gimme.
Lola Corolla.
That's right.
Yep.
Beep Barina.
Oh, yeah.
Not much imagination, though.
No. But it is obviously people do feel quite the affinity for their car. Some people feel maybe too much of an affinity for their car, like a gentleman by the name of Chris Donald in, I think he's from the United States of America. And he talks about his fetish for actually having sex with his car.
Where? What part of it?
Well, I think we all know the answer to that question.
But you see,
I don't think that would be very comfortable.
I think he's had... There's something along the lines of he had to get the exhaust...
Modified.
Is there Teflon in there, or what are we talking?
But you'd want... Well, I don't want to be graphic, but... It's going to get messy, guys.
I kind of do want to be graphic. I'm really interested. I didn't know about this.
When you turn the car on, what happens to what's he's put in there? If you know what I mean. Oh, my God. I feel a bit gross to me. But, I mean, is that too far? Have we gone too far when we're having sex with cars, guys?
Look, I'm of the opinion that as long as no one else is, you know, as long as he does it in his own time and, he, you know, it doesn't have a negative impact on anyone else.
Yeah. I mean, there's fetishes and there's fetishes, I suppose.
Everyone has their kicks. Mm. Yeah, but
well, does it say what kind of car that he...
Is it a particular one?
Look, there was a few, actually.
At least make it a good-looking car.
He's a slut as well.
He's also had... He is, and he's had sex with more than 30 different models in 20 years, plus two motorboats and a jet ski.
He gets around, doesn't he?
Jet ski would be dangerous. Apparently, the jets that come out of them are supposed to be able to...
That would be
limbs off.
This other one. There's another one in England as well. He has got a name for one of his cars that he has sex with, which is called Vanilla, and he spends time with other vehicles, including an Opel GT named Cinnamon and a Ford Ranger Splash named Ginger.
Is that like the whole hanky code thing?
I hope not. I really hope not. Look, I've just repulsed myself and the two wonderful people sitting here in the studio.
There are some mental images that I'll never un...
Exactly.
What am I trying to say?
Get it out of your head.
Unremember? Yeah.
I understand.
Forget is the word I was looking for. Thank you very much.
Exactly.
I'm still thinking about it.
You are
enjoying it, yeah.
Well, Jeremy does that. That is us for another week. That's Fender Bender. Thank you very, very much, boys, Mike and Jeremy, for being here with us. For another week, much appreciated.
Pleasure as always.
See you soon. And, of course, don't forget to like Fender Bender Joy on Facebook, and we'll be posting updates throughout the week, of course. Fender Bender will be back from 5 p.m. next Sunday afternoon. Have a great week and safe driving.
Bye.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.